By 2028, 15% of the day-to-day decisions made in your company will likely be made with zero human involvement.
Zero. Yeah, none at all.
Right. And we aren't talking about, you know, decisions that an algorithm just suggests for you to review.
Right, like a recommendation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are talking about decisions that are actively executed by an AI just completely autonomously.
It's a huge deal.
It really is. Welcome to the deep dive. So if you're listening to this, you probably already know how to use generative AI.
Oh, for sure. Everyone's doing it.
Yeah, you know how to prompt a chatbot to like summarize a meeting or write an email.
Yeah, the basic stuff.
But today we're looking at what happens when the AI no longer waits for your prompt.
It's just this massive, monumental shift in enterprise technology. We are moving away from systems that simply think or advise, and we're entering an era of systems that actually do the work.
Systems that take action. And we have this incredibly insightful source mapping out this exact transition.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
It's an article from March 19, 2026 by Nishita Kondecker, and it was published by Avahi.
Right, and Avahi is an AWS premier tier services partner, so they have this very distinct, cloud infrastructure perspective on all this.
Exactly. But the overarching mission of our deep dive today is to unpack this concept that really promises to fundamentally rewire how businesses operate. We are talking about agentic AI.
Agentic AI. And to set the baseline here, the source highlights a pretty staggering statistic about where we are right now.
Oh, the adoption rate.
Yeah. Currently, 78% of organizations are using AI in at least one business function.
78%? I mean, it's everywhere.
It really is. That represents massive widespread adoption.
But most of that adoption is still, highly isolated. It's stuck in analytics dashboards or it's just generating marketing copy.
Right, it hasn't reached the operational core of the business where the actual levers get pulled.
Exactly. So before we get into what agentic AI actually is, we really need to understand why the current enterprise AI models have hit this hard operational ceiling.
Yeah, well, why can't we just scale up the chatbots we already have, right?
Right. So I like to think of current AI like having a brilliant backseat driver.
Oh, I like that analogy.
Thanks. Yeah, it analyzes the traffic, it predicts a bottleneck 3 miles ahead, and suggests this highly optimized alternate route.
But you still have to drive.
Exactly. You, the human, still have to manually turn the steering wheel.
What's fascinating here is the historical progression the source outlines to explain how we actually arrived at this bottleneck.
Okay, take us through it.
They break enterprise AI down into clear maturity phases. So phase one was rule-based automation.
Like RPA, robotic process automation.
Exactly. These were systems designed to execute predefined instructions, like basic data entry or routing a form from department A to department B.
Wait, hold on. I'm struggling to see the difference between a highly advanced RPA and an agent. Aren't they both just triggering workflows?
They are, but the mechanism behind them is completely different.
How?
Well, phase one RPA operated on strict deterministic logic. That means it followed really rigid, inflexible if-then rules.
If condition X, then action Y.
Right. They were fantastic for repetitive operational tasks, but they were incredibly brittle.
Brittle, meaning they break easily.
Yeah, the source notes that a minor change in an input format, say a vendor adds an extra column to their invoice, could just break the entire workflow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they have zero contextual reasoning.
They were basically just following a script blindly, which I guess brings us to the phase we're sitting in right now, phase two.
Predictive and generative AI.
Right. We introduced machine learning and large language models capable of analyzing massive volumes of data.
And finding patterns, generating original insights.
We have predictive analytics for forecasting demand and conversational AI for customer support. And unlike those brittle phase one bots, these systems actually learn from historical data.
But even with all that intelligence, phase two remains strictly model-centric. It focuses heavily on prediction rather than execution.
So it's still just the backseat driver.
Exactly. Let's look at a logistics example.
Yeah.
You have a massive enterprise using phase two AI to analyze its global supply chain.
Okay.
The AI successfully identifies a port delay, predicts a massive inventory shortage 3 weeks out, and summarizes the whole operational threat into a beautiful executive report.
Wow. So it did its job perfectly.
It did. But then what happens?
The human bottleneck happens.
Right. Analysts have to actually read that supply chain report.
And operations managers have to physically log into the ERP system and adjust the delivery schedules.
Yeah, procurement teams have to manually email or call vendors to expedite shipments.
So the AI provided world-class intelligence, but the actual execution is completely fragmented across different software systems and different human teams.
And those human-driven workflows are slowing down the decision cycles.
Because human beings have literally become the friction. We are the bottleneck translating AI insights into action.
Big eye.
So enterprise strategy naturally has to evolve to remove that friction. And here's where it gets really interesting. We enter phase three.
Agentic AI systems.
Right. We are shifting from advisory intelligence to operational execution. Wait, so instead of the traditional prompt-driven interaction where I ask a question and it gives an answer, I just give this system a business goal and it figures out the multi-step workflow on its own.
That is exactly it. It's moving from advisory to operational. But to do that, the underlying mechanism of the AI has to change.
Yeah, how does a large language model go from just guessing the next most probable word in a sentence to actually executing a multi-step business plan?
It requires a framework often referred to as REACT, which stands for reasoning and acting.
Reasoning and acting, okay.
Instead of just generating text in one continuous stream, the agent is trained to pause, generate a thought about what it needs to do, and observe its environment.
Like querying a database or pinging an API?
Yes, exactly. And then it takes an action based on that observation.
So it's a loop.
Continuous loop. The Avahi text breaks this down into perception, reasoning, action, and feedback.
Okay, so perception isn't just a one-time prompt.
No, not at all.
The agent continuously gathers and interprets data from operational data buses and application logs, right? Like it's maintaining constant awareness of business conditions.
That's the perception. Then the reasoning phase kicks in.
And that reasoning phase is where that React framework shines.
Right. It evaluates the business objective you gave it, analyzes the constraints, and actually plans a sequence of tasks.
It's actively strategizing.
Yes, not just reacting to a trigger.
Then we get to the action phase, where it interacts directly with enterprise platforms, updating records in the CRM, triggering workflows, sending notifications.
And finally, the continuous feedback loop, where it evaluates the outcomes of its actions and adjusts its future behavior.
So it's continuously learning without a human having to rewrite its code.
Exactly. And this isn't, you know, theoretical tech bro speculation.
No, the data backs it up.
The source brings in those heavy-hitting Gartner predictions to illustrate the sheer scale of this shift.
Yeah.
They forecast that by 2026, 40% of enterprise applications will embed these task-specific AI agents.
40%. And then by 2028, we hit that stat from the beginning of our deep dive.
Yep, 15%.
15% of day-to-day business decisions made entirely autonomously, up from almost zero in 2024.
It's wild.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the idea of autonomous AI making 15% of business decisions sounds incredible for efficiency.
Oh yeah, massive efficiency.
But giving an AI independent, unsupervised access to enterprise systems sounds like a recipe for an automated disaster.
It really does.
If this thing is freely interacting with our APIs and our financial systems, how do we prevent it from just going completely rogue?
It is the single most critical concern for any enterprise adopting this. You cannot just give a standard language model the keys to the company.
No, absolutely not.
To move from a passive chatbot to a safe, autonomous system, the underlying technological architecture has to fundamentally change. The Avahi text outlines a 5-layer structure required to make this safe and functional.
Okay, let's group these layers to make sense of them, because if the AI decides to reroute a shipment, it needs a brain and it needs hands.
I like that.
So its brain would be the data and knowledge layer three in the text. This is where the contextual intelligence lives.
Right. Enterprise data lakes and vector databases.
And just to clarify for anyone unfamiliar, a vector database basically acts as the AI's long-term memory.
Right.
Instead of just searching for exact keyword matches, it allows the AI to instantly search through years of your company's data based on the semantic meaning and context of the information.
It's the brain. Then you have the hands, which the text calls the integration layer, layer four.
The connections.
Right, the literal connections, the API hooks into your ERP, your CRM, your supply chain software. This is how the agent actually reaches out and touches the business to execute a task.
Okay, brain and hands. But who is coordinating them?
That happens across the first two layers. Mm-hmm. Layer one is the AI agent layer itself. Crucially, you do not just have one massive, omnipotent AI running the entire company. You deploy specialized agents.
Oh, okay. like a financial analysis agent, an IT monitoring agent.
Exactly, a customer service agent. They have narrow, defined operational domains.
Got it.
And layer two is the orchestration layer. Think of this as the automated middle manager.
The middle manager.
Yeah, it coordinates the tasks between the different specialized agents, plans the multi-step workflows, and prioritizes actions so they don't interfere with each other.
Okay, I see the mechanics.
Yep.
We have specialized workers, a middle manager coordinating them, a deep memory bank to draw from, and the API hands to do the work.
That's the architecture.
But I'm going to push back here on the safety aspect.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because so far, I'm still seeing a system that could easily, I don't know, accidentally order 10,000 tons of steel due to a rounding error.
Right, the hallucination problem.
Yeah. The source mentions layer five is the governance and security layer, which establishes operational boundaries and access controls.
Meaning it only touches what it's authorized to touch.
But wait, if the AI has the authority to order steel and its internal reasoning mathematically calculates we need 10,000 tons, a permission layer won't stop it.
Because it has permission.
Exactly. How does governance actually catch a logic error?
This raises an important question. And it's a really common misconception about AI governance. Governance isn't just a static permissions checklist.
It's more active.
Yes.
Yes.
In a true agentic architecture, layer 5 includes continuous model monitoring and anomaly detection models that sit right alongside the agent.
Oh, I see.
So if an agent suddenly requests a purchase order that is, say, 400% higher than the historical weekly average, the governance layer flags that as an anomaly and halts the execution.
Oh, requiring a human override.
Exactly.
So it's constantly double-checking the agent's math against historical baselines.
Furthermore, the governance layer mandates strict explainability features. You aren't just relying on a black box.
You need to know why it did what it did.
Right. If an agent executes a supply chain adjustment, the system ensures there is a fully auditable trail of the step-by-step reasoning that led to that decision.
So if something does go wrong, you can look under the hood and see the exact logical leap that caused the error.
That auditable trail is how you build trust and prevent those automated disasters.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. We've got the engine, which is the orchestration and integration, and we've got the brakes, which is the active governance.
Exactly.
So now that we understand the mechanics, I really want to talk about what this machine actually drives in the real world.
The use cases.
Yeah. If you are listening to this and thinking about your own chaotic Monday morning inbox, the idea of an AI autonomously executing tasks sounds great, but how does it actually untangle the mess?
The source provides several excellent practical enterprise use cases where this transition is already happening.
Okay, give us an example.
Let's start with IT operations and DevOps. Right now, if a server goes down or performance spikes at 2 in the morning, an engineer gets a pager alert.
They wake up, log in.
Right, they spend an hour diagnosing the anomaly, manually restart the service, and then write up an incident ticket.
It is a completely manual, human-driven workflow.
But with agentic AI, an IT monitoring agent is continuously watching the infrastructure. It detects the anomaly itself.
And it uses that React framework to reason out the solution based on past outages, right?
Yes. It autonomously restarts the necessary services, verifies the fix, and generates the incident ticket for the morning log.
All before the human engineer's alarm clock even goes off.
Exactly. That alone transforms the quality of life for IT teams.
Absolutely.
And the implications for customer experience are just as profound. We are not talking about a chatbot that just regurgitates a link to an FAQ page.
Oh, I hate those.
We all do. Agentic AI coordinates actual service resolutions.
So what does that look like?
Let's say a high-value client emails about a missing shipment. The agent analyzes the sentiment of the email, dives into the ERP via its integration layer to locate the delayed order.
Checking the contract terms.
Right. It authorizes an expedited shipping solution and emails the client back with the tracking number.
Wow. It is actually solving the problem from end to end, not just deflecting the customer until a human is available.
And if the issue is too complex, say the shipment is literally lost at sea, the agent packages all that context, summarizes the steps it already took, and escalates it to a human account manager seamlessly.
That's incredible. And then you have a supply chain optimization, right?
Oh, yeah. Agents continuously evaluate inventory levels against real-time demand forecasts and supplier performance.
So they autonomously adjust logistics plans on the fly when external disruptions happen, like a sudden port strike.
Exactly. And in financial operations, agents can run continuous around-the-clock fraud detection.
Anomaly identification, expense monitoring.
Right. They're checking compliance across millions of transactions at a scale humans simply cannot match.
That's just wild.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the overarching operational benefits become incredibly clear. You get continuous decision intelligence.
Because the system never sleeps.
Never takes a weekend off. You get massive operational efficiency by reducing the friction of manual coordination between departments.
But perhaps most importantly, you gain scalable parallel workloads.
Exactly.
Meaning you can handle exponentially more complex operations without having to linearly scale up your manual workforce.
It sounds like a corporate utopia.
It does. But we know it is never that simple.
No, it never is.
Despite all these massive operational benefits, agentic AI is definitely not a plug-and-play solution.
Not at all.
You don't just buy a software license, plug it in, and let the agents run the company. In fact, organizations are actively failing at this transition.
They are struggling significantly. The Avahi text highlights a really sobering statistic. Nearly 40% of agentic AI projects may be canceled.
40%? That is a massive failure rate for expensive enterprise initiatives.
Huge.
Why are so many of these deployments collapsing?
The reasons usually come down to weak governance, unclear business value, or inadequate risk controls. We talked about how vital that data and knowledge layer is, right? The brain of the AI.
Right.
Well, imagine an AI trying to read a 20-year-old ERP system where half the inventory codes were manually entered with typos by an intern back in 2015.
Oh, man. If the AI's memory is a messy, unstructured data swamp, its reasoning and actions are going to be deeply flawed.
Exactly.
You can't put a brilliant brain inside a broken body and expect it to win a marathon.
Precisely why high-quality, structured data environments and reliable pipelines are mandatory prerequisites.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If an organization tries to deploy agentic AI without cleaning their data house first, the project will inevitably collapse under the weight of its own hallucinations.
So what does this all mean for the people actually working at these companies?
That's the real question.
Because deploying, managing, and fixing these systems requires a totally different kind of expertise.
It requires a fundamental evolution in workforce readiness.
Yeah.
The text points out that enterprises are going to require entirely new specialized roles.
This was one of the most fascinating details in the source for me. We are seeing the emergence of entirely new job titles.
Yeah, like what?
Well, it's wild to think about updating your resume to say AI orchestration specialist.
Or automation architect.
Or AI governance lead. We are literally inventing a new tier of human management. But instead of managing human employees, this tier exists entirely to manage, monitor, and govern software agents.
You are managing a digital workforce. You are designing their workflows, auditing their decisions, and ensuring they stay within their operational boundaries.
Right.
And because the infrastructure requirements are so incredibly complex, spanning advanced cloud platforms, security compliance, and unified data lakes, most enterprises simply cannot build this natively.
It's just too much. And it's worth noting, the source we are looking at today is published by Avahi. Since they are an AWS partner, their proposed solution heavily focuses on cloud migration and leveraging specific tools like Amazon Bedrock,
which is AWS's managed service for hosting these foundational models.
Exactly. They're making the case that building this infrastructure internally is just too complex and risky for most companies.
Which naturally positions their consulting services as a potential starting point. They focus on establishing that strong cloud foundation, optimizing the AI models, and building out the crucial security and governance layers to ensure compliance.
But, you know, regardless of the vendor a company chooses, the underlying requirement for strict data governance remains exactly the same.
As always.
Navigating a 40% failure rate requires expert guidance, especially in highly regulated industries.
Oh, absolutely.
Actually, for anyone listening who works in the healthcare sector, the source mentions Avahi is hosting a free AI healthcare webinar.
Oh, right. On Wednesday, March 18th, 2026.
Yep. At 1:00 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
They'll be pitching their specific approach to patient engagement and predictive insights.
So if you are tasked with figuring this out for a hospital system, checking out how vendors are tackling these roadblocks might be a really useful place to start.
Because the cost of getting it wrong in healthcare or finance isn't just an operational headache.
No, it's a massive compliance failure.
Absolutely.
All right, let's zoom out and summarize this evolutionary journey we have been mapping today.
Let's do it.
We started in phase one, trapped in the rigid, deterministic world of simple bots. If X, then Y, brittle and inflexible.
Very brittle.
Then we evolved into phase two, the era we are currently dominating, the era of brilliant but ultimately passive generative AI advisors.
The GPS that tells us exactly where the traffic is but refuses to turn the steering wheel.
Beautifully put. And now we are standing on the edge of phase three, agentic AI. We are handing over the steering wheel to systems that perceive, reason, act, and continuously learn on our behalf.
It is the defining shift from AI that analyzes the business to AI that actively operates the business.
And that leaves us with one final lingering thought for you to mull over today.
Oh, I like this.
The source makes it clear that these agents use continuous feedback loops to adapt, and their integration layers actively interact with external systems.
Right, they talk to the outside world.
We also know Gartner predicts 15% of business decisions will be autonomous by 2028.
Yep.
So imagine a near future where your company's agentic AI system realizes there's a massive supply chain disruption.
Okay.
It reaches out via an API to resolve it. And the entity it ends up negotiating shipping logistics and pricing with is a completely different company's agentic AI system.
Wow. Two autonomous systems optimizing against each other's constraints in real time.
Exactly. When algorithms are continuously learning, adapting, and negotiating with each other at lightning speed, completely without human intervention or oversight.
Who is actually steering the market?
Exactly. Are we still in the car at all?
That is a wild thought.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the systems around you, keep exploring, and we will see you next time as we continue to map out the rapidly evolving world of enterprise AI.